Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, dear ones, wherever in the world you're listening to this message. My apologies for the lengthy hiatus between episodes and the frequency that once was once a week is now becoming a little more erratic and sporadic because of the lengthy travel schedule that keeps us swamped. After we finish this series of messages, hopefully we'll get another one in before I jaunt off to the broader parts of the world, including the land of my birth, and that escapade will take about 3.5 weeks. Maybe, the good Lord willing, we'll be able to update you from the field as well. But continuing in the track of what we did receive good feedback for, medicine for misery, medicine for misery. We talked about stop digging, and some of you were kind enough to tell me about the things that you had to reflect on in your own life that you have to stop digging and try to allow the wounds to heal and not constantly pick at the scars that are the remnants of the ash heap of a fallen society. One thing, if you're excited about some of these missives and these mottos that we are doing, I'm coming out with a new devotional called Read, Pray, Worship. Read, Pray, Worship. It will be 52 devotions that will have a little bit of a layman's perspective of respective scripture, broken down for easy digestibility, and then a small worship ditty at the end that actually can be an anthem or a prayer you say for peace and comfort, either late at night or during the course of your day to overcome the strife and some of the misery that we are confronted with. So what is this medicine for misery? First, stop digging. Now the second thing is stop deflecting. One of the rally cries of the modern era is this concept of deflection. Deflection can come in one of two or three ways. The first being, it doesn't bother me, so I'm not going to react. As such, you deflect that which is around us and allow itself to land on someone else so that we're not the byproduct or we're not affected by it. The second is consciously and willfully throwing it to someone else saying, this is not my burden, it's probably yours to bear. And the third and probably the most important is looking at it saying, in time and place, in the here and now, maybe this is a necessary evil that we need to accept. So deflection can come in the form of a broad-based ignorance that it doesn't affect me, a desire and a plea that someone else solve the problem, or the third one, which is probably the most detrimental, it may be here to stay, so we may just have to go along to get along. This has been encompassed in this all-inclusive word, love. When you look at the word love mentioned throughout the confines of human history, love is not an action or an emotion, it is an ethos. And ultimately, the breakdown of love is when you try to redefine what love is. Within created order, love was designed for one of three or four ways that C.S. Lewis articulated in his four great loves. He talked about an agape love, which is the unconditional love that only a creator can have for his creation. He talked about an eros, which is a physical love that God allows two human beings to manifest physically with each other for the primary goal of procreation, but in saving yourself for that holy union of matrimony, that procreation is both God-ordained, and the love that is experienced, enjoyed, and the exhilaration that comes with it has a holiness attribute to it and not just a count. The third kind of love he talked about is phileo, which is brotherly love, the love we try to have when we engage in this world with other people in a brotherly or a sisterly format. It doesn't have to be a blood brother or a blood sister. Many of us call each other brothers and sisters in faith, and this phileo love basically is an envelope or an umbrella for that. And the third is storge. This is the relational, the parental love, the father-son, the mother-daughter, the father-daughter, the mother-son. maybe even extended family could fall into this. But this is that relational love. It goes beyond the basic components of just a phileo, a brotherly love, and actually embraces a relational element, which means there is something a little more deeply rooted and seated in that love. Now, Lewis called this the four great loves, and the storge, the phileo, the eros, and the agape. In our own desire to have medicine for this misery, our deflection is redefining the construct of love. No longer is the eros sacred and allowed to only be exhibited within the sanction of holy matrimony. The preservation of people in a virginal state when they actually wed. In my own sessions, I have made full disclosure. I'm proud of the fact that I preserve myself for my bride. This is not a guilt trip. This podcast never has been designed to be a guilt trip. But there are actually channels out there that talk about body count. They have women scantily clad sitting in front of microphones, pretty proud of the fact that their number, the number which means the number of conquests, the number of notches in their eros pursuit, actually came about because of circumstance, came about because of environment, came about because of financial necessity, but in no way does that diminish their ability to be a good mother. Nobody is saying that it diminishes anybody's ability to be anything, but if body count, the number of partners you've had, is something that you're proud of in a way, saying that it came about as a result of necessity, and you're not ashamed but proud enough to talk about it in a public forum, and then chastise anybody who starts making the distinguishing characteristics between a woman of the night or a girl of pleasure and a lady, and then the reaction therein, that is part of the deflection, because we have distorted, as we'll talk about next time, the definition of love. Within the confines of joint family, you have a different kind of relational love, that's storge. But within the confines of blended families and families that are the result of multiple divorces, multiple movements, multiple partners, here is a deflection that takes place of gigantic proportions that is now slowly enveloping the earth. Now, I'm offering this medicine for the misery we exhibit in a social construct without chastising, without blaming, and not putting a guilt trip on anybody. But I want us to peel back the onion of this faltering society to see that the tears that we seem to be experiencing every day are the result of a real burnt up ash heap that we call life and the living within it. What do I mean by that? When you look at the concept of deflection and you talk about these multiple relational attributes that come about, one lady actually talked about the fact that she shouldn't be judged. Now, she had hair that was not matched with the natural tones of anything that was part of creation, leave alone trying to get to a different shade of tan or blonde or black, or just graying out the air, just dark dyeing the areas that are gray. This woman had purple highlights and pink highlights and yellow highlights. In fact, her head was a veritable rainbow. Then she proudly looks into the camera and says, I have six children by six different fathers. Don't judge me. I am a good mother. I take good care of them. I provide for them. Yeah, the odds are, she goes on to add, that because she, when asked if she gets government support, she said, of course I get government support. I don't get support from a man. How else do you think I'm going to raise my children? Did you see the catch-22 that was posited? I have six children by six different men. My body count is high. The number of children I have is high. Each one of them is cared for diligently by me. I'm a good mother. The fact that I look different, act different, talk different, and view different does not mean anything. Are you getting any support from the government? Of course I'm getting support. There is no man in my life. Well, you said there were six men in your life and you chose not to be with any one of them. Well, I don't think any one of them is a good father. Therein lies the difference of this society and its decrepit desire, How do we get medicine? Remember this, anybody can sire a child. Anybody can have a child. That doesn't make them a father or a mother. A woman saying, I'm a good mother after having slept with six different people with six different children and demanding the government provide her provision to raise them, and then standing on a moral high horse claiming that she has to have every respect that is accorded a lady, one with dignity, one who has been with one person. The thoughts are different. Again, like I said, this may sting, it may hurt, and our immediate families are byproducts of this degradation. So ask yourself, one of the things of this medicine for misery is the three things we posited were, are we deflecting it, saying it doesn't affect me, no harm, no foul? Are we saying it only affects those people and they should solve it, otherwise we're all going down the toilet? Or are we accepting it and saying, let's live and let live and don't worry about what comes down the pike in some kind of a futuristic way? Well, we did that all the way through the 60s and the 70s of the free love, the 80s of the free expression of ideas, the 90s for the equal redistribution of wealth, to the 2000s we're saying we want restitution for crimes committed 200 years ago. So where are we in this process? Well, if you stop digging, we need to stop deflecting. And we need to stop deflecting and start taking ownership. Let's go back to the two illustrations I played. If your goal in life is to share that your body count is high because of circumstance, for starters, stop it. There is no thrill, there is no virtue, there is no grandeur, there is not a man worth his salt who could look at you in any kind of way and say, you know what, that person is desirable to me because she is proud of the fact she's been with multiple people. That kind of a relationship is doomed from the start because it's going to be built not on completion, but on comparison. That is why God in his infinite wisdom said the unity of man and woman has to be in the purity. And that is why the purity under that Trinity is the only one that gives us that sovereignty. What does that mean? It means when you come together pure and holy, and then you unite together in matrimony, and you're the only two people who have been with each other, there is no comparison with anybody else, either in the physicality or the mentality. All you can do is realize that God put you two together and you figure it out, that your experiences are just with each other. There is no comparison. There is only completion. And the last thing, asking ourselves, it's here to stay. Folks, I've been taking a stand against some of the moral decline. I've been taking some heat for it. And I think in the days and months ahead, we'll probably take more heat for it. People always ask me, have you ever been canceled? I probably have. Have you ever been discounted? I probably have. Have you ever been probably not invited somewhere because of your position? I probably have. I have lost a lot of things in this journey of trying to articulate right and wrong, good and bad, yes and no, black and white. But the one thing I have not lost is sleep. So in the process of deflecting, stop thinking that it doesn't affect you. It does. We retreat to suburbia to raise our children and raise our fences. And then when we send them back into this world, we find the center that was hollowed out because of our absence was also hollowed out because of the absence of morality. All we have is a decaying pit of absolute debauchery. And when our children go in there like a whirlpool of evil, like a satanic cyclical paradigm of hopelessness, we find that change automatically and almost immediately consumes them. Stop thinking it doesn't affect you. It does. Stop thinking that someone else has to solve the problem. That's what people thought when the Nazis were rounding up the Jews. It doesn't affect me. Before long, what will happen is you'll be the last person standing and you'll be wondering what happened. Everything you held dear was slowly usurped by other people who increased the broad reaches of their own claws and tentacles. So the boundaries that you thought were established actually eroded a long time ago. And the third thing, don't ever acquiesce saying it's here to stay. One of the biggest deterrents we're seeing today in public consumption is that the church itself is now fallen prey to this whole ridiculous desire to appease culture. They're opening their doors so wide saying we need to use the love of God to influence culture. Well, the love of hell and everything that is evil is now invading those very sacred bodies. And instead of the church influencing culture, the culture is influencing the church. Down come the things that are the desires of God's heart. Down comes all the absolute adoration that we are supposed to give him in worship when we submit all of our conscience to him. Up goes these pedestals of trying to be holier than thou and lifting other people up whose behavior is abhorrent, whose discipline is basically intolerant of any other discipline that they disagree with. And what we have is a topsy-turvy world that we have said, hey, it doesn't affect me, I've moved away. Someone else needs to solve it, so I'm just going to stay. And finally, it's here to stay. What difference does it make? Well, the difference has been made. If you want medicine for the misery, stop digging, stop deflecting, take ownership. Until next time, this is your humble host, Krish Dunham. Good luck, God bless.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by SkyLife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.